Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Everyone has an opinion. Let's hear yours. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
My singing voice is still pretty good. I've been blasting out, trying to sing Wicked. I'm telling you, that Defying Gravity song, I can't get over it. I don't know what it is. I know it's weird. I know it's strange. Maybe I shouldn't admit it. I don't care. I can't stop playing Defying Gravity from the Wicked movie soundtrack. I cannot stop playing it. I love the freaking song. Got to admit, can't stop. Was playing it in the house today, you know, dealing with like a while I was playing it today while I was making a bobsled out of a Coke can. That's the new thing now. The new thing I have to do now is figure out how to make this science project that my son joined with like two other kids like less than a week ago. It's due at the early part of next week. We're doing some sort of bobsled made out of different material going down a track and you know, how, you know, the different materials would go down. We're going to time it, you know, all that stuff. You know, I don't know. My wife's like in charge of it. I'm just in charge of building the stuff. And we were supposed to get help, you know, building the stuff. Now some of the other families are sick and suddenly I'm on duty to build a, like, multiple bobsleds. I might have to go build a track. My wife's like, I'm like, how did that, I don't know. What do you mean build a track for a cardboard bobsled and a Coke can bobsled, and I'm going to cut like a milk carton and make a plastic bobsled. All right, so I can figure out how to do all that, I suppose. But like, how do you make a track? I don't know. Cut cardboard together. I'm like, cut cardboard together? Like, what kind? Well, can you make it like in an S shape? Yeah, sure. No problem. I'll make an S shaped track. Easy. She's Googling. She goes, well, what about some PVC piping? Oh, yeah. No, clearly. I'll go down to Lowe's. I'll get some PVC pipe. I'll make a nice track. Oh, when is this due? Oh, it's due. Like, I need this done by like Friday. What's today? Thursday? Okay, no problem. Sure. You know, I sleep all day and I work all night. You know that, right? But sure, I'll make bobsleds and tracks. Yeah, because I'm good at this stuff. That's why I got into sports. I'm not good at anything. Half the audience will tell you I'm not even good at this. But I got nothing else. I'm not handy at all. Not at all. I had to re-caulk the tub. My mother was like, no, I'm not good enough. I'll do it. Leave it alone. I'm like, all right, you do it. I'm not good at anything. And now all of a sudden I'm like, making Coke cans. I mean, and it was, listen, is it hard? No, I cut a little hole in the top of a Coke can. I wrapped it all in tape so it's not sharp on any edges. And then I taped two straws to the bottom and made it look like the blades of the bobsled. That's the bobsled. I get it. It's not hard. But, like, the track, and have this thrusted upon me, suddenly, like, I'm in charge of everything. I didn't even know I was doing it. Now, all of a sudden, I got to make three things and they're due on Friday. Oh, my God. And I'm busy over the weekend. I got football. That's it. Now it's football Saturday, all day Saturday and Sunday. And I'll be working this Saturday leading into the games. I'm doing a couple hours before the divisional game. So I'll be on 2 to 4 on Saturday afternoon with you here on The Fan. So I'm working Saturday. I got the game Saturday, Sunday. The thing is due early in the week. I got to make a track, PVC piping. Tape some cardboard together and make a track. Now it's like, you want me to make an S shape? How do I make the turns? Oh, I heard, I see here PVC piping. Yeah, okay, piping. For an 8-year-old's science project that's thrusted upon me? I don't know, man. And then I get in trouble. Why don't you want to do this? He's working so hard. He's working hard. Then let him make the track. He's working hard. Why? Because he said, let's do it. I mean, I'm happy to help, but, you know, it's not one of those things where we had like a month in advance and we were like building this thing together. It's like, hey, it's due, do it. It's due on Friday. Hopefully she's not listening because this was like a legitimate thing. So I don't get in trouble. But it was just like, oh, man, I got a million things to do. I can't sleep. The sleep has been a little tough this week. It was getting better, but you know what happened? I had like 2 weeks where I was still working a little bit, but I was working in the afternoon with Keith. I did the day with Sal. It was the holidays. I got on a stretch of like a good solid, 2 weeks pretty much of sleeping normal hours. And now I'm trying to get back into it of, sleeping during the day. And it's been I was in a groove there for a long time. And now suddenly the holidays kind of threw me off. And now I'm back to trying to get into the schedule of sleeping in the middle of the day. The one good thing is it's cold. I love sleeping in the cold. I want it so cold in the bedroom, and me and my wife are completely different. Like, there is nothing better to me than getting into a cold bed. I know that, I don't know, maybe that sounds weird to people. I love getting into like a crisp, cold bed. You get under the sheets and you're freezing for the first few minutes, and then you gradually warm up. And then I want to sleep in the room where it's so cold that if my foot pokes out from underneath the blanket, it'll wake me up. That's what I want. That's how cold I want the room to be in when we sleep. And my wife is like the complete opposite. She gets into a bed, and if it's not, I practically have to roll around in the bed for 20 minutes to warm it up before she'll get in it. And I'm like, no, man, a nice ice cold bed. That's how I like it. Then you gradually warm up, and you have to like rub your feet and legs together until you warm up. That's the best. It's exactly what I'm looking for. Love sleeping in the cold. I guess, Marash, besides talking about my butt crack, which I guess I have to get to the bottom of. I have not the bottom of my butt crack, but the bottom of what they're talking about. Because this is like the third person who said something to me. I don't know what shots were taken at me about my butt crack on the afternoon drive. I'm used to it, by the way. So don't think you're offending my sensibilities. I don't really care. But he was also talking about the temperature and everything. I couldn't disagree more. I understand it's cold out there. I do. And nobody likes it. And I walk out of the building, and as soon as you walk out of the door, especially here in Manhattan, like in the middle of a street, like, with no, like down an avenue with no buildings on the, like the wind comes whipping through. As soon as I walk out of the door, it hits you in the face. It's cold. I would take this over a 98 degree day any day of the week. You could always bundle up. I don't understand people. You wear a hat, you wear a jacket, you wear a hoodie, you wear gloves, you wear two pairs of socks. Like, if it's cold out, you bundle up. You wear your long johns underneath. Whatever you have to do to get comfortable in the warm weather, you do. There's hand warmers, there's countless things. You walk out and it's 100 degrees, you got nothing. There's nothing you could do in 100 degrees when you have to go somewhere. Like, I can't. The oppressive heat, and especially like, you go down to Florida and you feel like the air is literally sitting on you. The worst. I would take 10 degrees over 100 degrees any day of the week. You can cover up. I love living in New York and the seasons change. And although we're not getting too much of spring and fall has kind of like evaporated into like one large summer and one large winter. But I still would rather have that. I like the seasons change. I like the difference. I like having it cold every once in a while. I like it. Does anybody like walking out of the house? It's freezing. You got to sit in the car. You warm up the car. It takes forever or whatever. You get out. The wind hits you in the face immediately. No, it's not the most pleasurable thing. But I would take that over walking out of the house and it being 100 degrees with the sun blaring on you. Forget that. You can't take them off. You can only wear shorts and a t-shirt. Or maybe no pants and show your butt crack. Apparently that's what I do. I have no idea what the butt crack comment was about. I have to get to the bottom of it. They take shots in the afternoon show. I'm used to it. When I was a part of it, I got shots taken at me. I couldn't even eat shrimp without having it become a big thing about how, you know, how bougie I am for eating expensive shrimp at a restaurant. Like, I'm aware. Everything I do is fodder. It's what we do here. I mean, forget about it. At least the afternoon's talking about my butt crack. I will see. The morning show can't go. If my name gets mentioned, it's pretty much about my weight. You live with it. I had Jerry Seinfeld on. Recco plays the highlight, and it's like, man, he's out of breath. Well, can you expect it? Look how heavy he is. Like, okay, I had Jerry Seinfeld on. We're talking about how I'm fat and out of breath. It's amazing. Butt cracks, weight, bobsleds, tracks, cold weather. This is what you turned on the radio for. You know it. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Let's get back to the calls. Chris in the Bronx. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Chris. How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm not too bad. I'm just a little frustrated with these fans acting like Pete Alonso is public enemy number one.
I am surprised how many fans have the opinion of, hey, he turned down the 7-year contract, screw him. Like, I'm really surprised how many fans have that kind of response.
If, you hire Scott Boras, and I think that rubbed a lot of these fans.
Yeah, that's the other thing. He didn't come up with a deal, and then suddenly he ran quick to hire Scott Boras. That is true.
Right, but if you hire any agent who's worth his weight, if you hire any agent, you look ahead to this free agent period, your competition within first base is Carlos Santana and Paul Goldschmidt, Anthony Rizzo. Depending how you feel about Bregman and Teoscar Hernandez, Alonso is the third or fourth, maybe the second best hitter in this class. I mean,
yeah.
Just because he rejected an offer 2 years ago, he's public enemy number one. It's just a little bizarre to me.
Yeah, I totally agree. I do. I'm surprised that not more fans are like, get it done. I would have expected, and maybe, listen, maybe the Mets are playing this right, because nobody, I agree, most fans kind of just feel like, hey, it is what it is. There's no other market. Like, they're all being very sensible, and they're being very cold and matter of fact and understanding that this is business. It wasn't that way when the shoe was on the other foot, kind of. Right when Pete was asking for a big number, nobody said, "Hey, that's what you asked for." That's everyone was like, "Come on, Pete, come back to earth." You know, it's valuable to be a Met. It's valuable to be a Met. I hope he understands that, David Wright. I hope he understands that. Everybody toeing the company line for the New York Mets, and that's fine. I'm just because again, this isn't a hot take where I'm like, the Mets need to sign Pete Alonso or they've failed their fans. It's not what I'm saying. I understand the thought process of moving on. I think you can make a very strong case considering Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is there next year, considering you have an owner without question can go sign him if they want him. Like, there is other options. I mean, the only problem with not signing Pete this year right now is you just mentioned some of the options at first base, and it sounds like from reports is that they'd probably go from within the organization. So there, really, who's your first baseman? And then you look at this rotation and bullpen right now. They got to sign someone. Tanner Scott. The other thing about the organization right now is they're $70 million less payroll than they were last year. This is the richest owner in baseball. Yes, they signed Juan Soto. Totally agree. Great move. Flexed his muscle. Took him away from the Yankees. Flip the script in the city, whatever you want to say. I'm not going to argue with you. That's fine. All of that is true. Fine. But he's still $70 million short of where he was last year. And we understand why. The Scherzers and the Verlanders. Okay. But don't you expect him to reinvest that money? And this year, look at that rotation. They put no money into the rotation, really, besides Manaea. They went out and you know, trying to have reclamation projects like Montas and turn a closer with the Yankees in Clay Holmes into a starter. Hope Sanga can stay healthy and pitch well. Like, there's a lot of hope David Peterson has the same type of year he had last year, the really only good year of his entire career. Hope all of that works out in the rotation, and the bullpen is what exactly? So they've been talking to Tanner Scott. You saw today that Tim Hill, for last year's lefty reliever for the New York Yankees, that they're maybe somewhat interested in him. But right now, they've put no money into the team other than Juan Soto. Like, we were talking so much about, are the Yankees better off with Juan Soto? And if they got Juan Soto, they wouldn't be able to do anything else. And that's part of why Juan Soto came to the Mets, because they know he could pay Juan Soto and do more things. And clearly that's true. And I think Vladimir Guerrero is one of the things we're talking about. And I think they'd be all over Vlad. But this year, you could have the same conversation about the Mets and the Yankees. They got Vlad, they've got Juan Soto, and did nothing else. They didn't help their offense. They haven't helped the bullpen. And the rotation is scary, if you ask me. So if you don't sign Pete, what exactly, like, are you hoping for a dominant rotation like you had last year? That it's certainly possible. They did it last year with the same kind of rotation, if not worse, when Sanga went down. So they've got a slightly better rotation, I suppose, heading in, but it's still a very questionable one. The bullpen is Diaz and whom exactly? And the lineup is now going to miss a 30-home run hitter to back up Juan Soto. You've swapped Juan Soto for Pete Alonso. It's an excellent swap, and you're better, but you still don't have Winker. You don't have Iglesias. J.D. Martinez for times, certainly during the stretch where they got hot after the 11-game under 500 in the team meeting, when they really went on that run, he was very valuable to the team. So, like, you're missing some bats, and you're hoping that, obviously, Vientos builds on last year. There's a lot of question marks about this team competing against, like, this question marks against the Yankees, no doubt. They're competing against the Cleveland Guardians. They're competing against the Baltimore Orioles, who've lost their ace starting pitcher and their best hitting outfielder. They're competing with, you know, the Astros, who are a new-look Astro team without Bregman and without Kyle Tucker. They're competing with an American League that's not nearly as good. The Mets are competing against the Dodgers, who are about to add Roky Sasaki to an already best rotation in baseball. They're about to, and obviously, you know, the top of the order is freaking the All-Star team. They're competing with the Padres. They're competing with the Dodgers and the Braves and the Phillies. There's a lot of question marks. Pete helps with that. So what if you have to overpay him to secure him? Is that crazy? When he's been your guy who's done all this for you and he's come down on the years and he's saying, just work with me on the number. Just work with me on the number. And they're well within their rights to play hardball and stick to it and hold the line. Hold the line! Ba-na-na-na. Pete isn't worth another dime. Oh, yeah, yeah. Feel free to use it, Al Dukes. But, like, that's fine. Hold the line and maybe he'll sign. Or maybe he'll get pissed off and leave. And so many Met fans feel comfortable with the idea that, hey, $15, $20 million more over 3 years, even with an opt-out after one, that money might not even, if it's an opt-out after one, you might not even have to pay him that much money over the next 3 years. You might opt out, and then you could say goodbye and get Vlad. There's value to bringing Pete Alonso back and putting him in a Met uniform. There's value to Pete Alonso being part of this lineup and trying to compete in the National League and trying to win a World Series, which now you have World Series or bust associated with you now that you're the big brother in the city. Big brother comes with World Series or bust. There's value to having him long term. There's value to having him short term. He's your guy. He's worked with you on the years, and they don't want to work with him on the number. That's fine, but is it worth losing him? Sean in Staten Island. What's up, Sean?
What's up, Christopher?
What's going on? Sean,
you always talked about Soto from the day one, and now you're going to beat the Mets fans up about Pete Alonso when you have Goldschmidt as your first baseman. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
What does that
have to do?
Who do you want at first base?
Who? Right
well,
now,
I'm just asking a question.
The Mets don't have anyone at first base, so I'd rather have the Yankees first base.
I'm asking a question. Okay. Who would you rather have, Pete Alonso, or a severely? Because you said Pete Alonso's, you know, aging, even though he's only 30. Mm-hmm. You're happy with Goldschmidt? Who would you rather have?
I'd rather have Pete Alonso. When did I say different?
In the past. The past nights you said you don't want Alonso.
Yeah, I didn't want Alonso because first of all, I thought you'd have to give him a longer-term deal. I also think it felt like, oh, you got Soto, we'll get Alonso. It felt weak. And ultimately, yeah, I don't.
No. Forget about the money. Forget just the player. Who would you rather have? Alonso or Goldschmidt?
Alonso.
The Met. Okay. Thank you for admitting that.
Why wouldn't I?
Because you didn't in the past.
Of course I did. I never once said I'd rather have Paul Goldschmidt than Pete Alonso. That's stupid. I've never said that.
So the Mets got Soto.
Yes.
And they have a chance to get Alonso at their price.
Have a chance.
Let them work the price.
I'm not beating up the fans. I'm just let them work the price. They're not working the price. They've given him a contract and pretty much said, take it or leave it.
Cashman settled.
What does Cashman have to do with this? What is Paul Goldschmidt?
Alonso.
What is the Yankees? What is Brian Cashman? What is Aaron Boone? What is Hal Steinbrenner? What does Babe Ruth have to do with this?
No, Cashman could have gave him an offer and made a competitive competition.
Yeah, he didn't want to. Okay, what does that have to do? What am I saying? I'm not even saying the Mets have to get him. I'm saying if you want him, work with him. And for the Met fans, he's never done a damn thing for me. I've never seen Pete hit a home run that sent us to the ALs, NLC, NLDS. I've never seen. What does Goldschmidt have to do with this? Get the Yankees out of your brain. It has nothing to do with this situation. Nothing.
Goldschmidt hasn't done a damn thing for you either.
And that's why they paid him $12.5 million on a one-year contract. What are you talking about?
Well, you're saying that the Mets have to.
No, I'm not. I'm saying the Mets, if they want him, do you want him or not? Do you want, as a Met fan, do you want Pete Alonso?
I want a first baseman.
Do you want Pete Alonso? I've answered your question directly. I'm asking you a direct question, Sean. Do you want, as a Met fan, Pete Alonso to be your first baseman this year?
I want Pete Alonso.
There you go. You want Pete Alonso. All right. You want Pete Alonso.
What's the price?
Okay.
What do you think is a fair price?
It's going to cost you $20 million over the next 3 years more than what you're offering right now. Is that a good enough reason not to have Pete Alonso?
I think I'll pay that.
Okay.
But why are the Yankees?
What do the Yankees have to do with it? Stop talking about the Yankees. You're obsessed. Who cares about the Yankees? This has nothing to do with the Yankees.
No.
Other than I'm a Yankee fan and you're trying to stick it to me. It means nothing.
No, I absolutely am trying to stick it to you.
Of course.
Because you want the best first baseman, right? Who's the better first baseman?
The Yankees already made their decision and signed Paul Goldschmidt. I yelled on this very station I was hosting with Sal when it came out that that Walker went to Arizona or went to Houston rather. I'm sorry, Walker went to Houston. I was yelling, why didn't the Yankees do it?
Yeah, you
this
said
has
that was
nothing.
I'll tell you exactly what you said.
Mm-hmm.
You said that was a great plan B from Soto. We had a great plan B. We got Goldschmidt now, and now we got
wait a second.
Bellinger.
I said it's a great plan B?
Yeah, you said it's
okay,
a great plan B.
Okay, well, then, listen, Sean, I appreciate you, and I thank you very much for pretending like you listen to the show, but if you do listen to the show, you have known from day one, I have said plan B sucks every other word out of my mouth. I have never once said this is a great plan B.
Give me a chance to correct what I was saying is that you said it was a good.
I said
plan B.
I might have. I think I've said Brian Cashman, all things considered, did about as well of a plan B as he could have. That's what I might have said.
Wait,
plan B sucks.
But if you got Pete Alonso,
what does
it better?
Plan B?
Yeah, it's slightly better, but there's also, you have an owner who's willing to spend everything. I have an owner looking to stay under $300 million. It's a different world. I can yell all I want about Hal Steinbrenner not wanting to do that, but Brian Cashman, if he gives $40 million, if he gives $30 million a year to Pete Alonso, suddenly they have other things limited. And Pete Alonso's never done a damn thing in a Yankee uniform. Pete Alonso sent the Mets to the NLDS last year. I would feel differently about signing Pete Alonso if he won a playoff series with the Yankees. That's why I'm screaming about how much I love Giancarlo Stanton, because Giancarlo Stanton hit home runs that's won me games. Everybody else, oh, Stanton, got to get rid of him. He's old. He's injured. Blah, blah, blah. You got to get rid of Stanton. And I'm saying, no, no, no. Bring him back. I love Stanton. Look what he's done for me. That's what I'm asking you to say as a Met fan. You don't want to say that. You want to call me up and talk about Paul Goldschmidt. What the hell are you talking about? What in the world are you talking about? I'm not getting on the Mets for not signing Pete Alonso. And I'm not even getting on the Met fan. I'm asking you. Do you want him? Because if you want him, you should be asking your organization to work with him as opposed to holding a firm line and saying, sorry, you didn't take the 7-year deal 2 years ago, so forget you. And that's what instead of answering that question, again, I asked you if you wanted Pete, you hemmed and hawed. You don't want him. No one's saying you have to. If you don't want him, that's an easy answer. You don't want him? Okay, the Mets are handling this just the right way. You're handling it just the right way to not get him. So that's fine. I'm not telling you you have to want Pete. I'm saying there is value to getting Pete. You can make an argument there's value in letting him go. It's not a no-brainer, slam dunk, something has to be done, something doesn't have to be done. You can handle it a myriad of ways. What I'm saying is, if you are a Met fan, and you want to win this year, you're better off with Pete. If that's valuable to you, winning this year, Pete's an option, your best option to win this year. He's been your guy. He's come down on a short-term deal right in the Mets' wheelhouse where they can sign this short-term deal with an opt-out, possibly have him opt out anyway, and all you would get is this year, which would be perfect. Or even if you're stuck with him for 3 years, you move him to DH and still sign the first baseman. You have the richest owner in the sport. That's all I'm saying. If you want him, it's worth the Mets working with him and getting the deal done. It has nothing to do with Paul Goldschmidt or what the Yankees could have or should have done. And is Pete Alonso the better player? Yes. Would I rather have Pete Alonso at first base than Paul Goldschmidt? Yeah, I guess. But I also want Kyle Tucker in my outfield. And I know, I'm willing to tell you this, as a Yankee fan, it is what it is. I can scream and yell about what Hal Steinbrenner is willing to do. I have more confidence, and this might be why part of Juan Soto being a Met, I have more confidence that next year the New York Mets can have Pete Alonso and the money, $35 million that they had to give him, whatever. I'm more confident that if Pete Alonso is a $35 million first baseman for the New York Mets next year, that they can still go out and get either Tucker or Vladimir Guerrero Jr., as opposed to the Yankees signing a 3-year deal, which, by the way, he's an offering to any other team but the Mets right now. But if they made him a $30 plus million first baseman for the next handful of years, I don't know if Kyle Tucker's going to be a Yankee next year. It's a different situation, whether it's what he's already done for the franchise, the owner, where they are currently with payroll, where they are currently with trying to win in a loaded National League as opposed to trying to be the best of the slop in the American League. It's a different situation. You want to call me up and try and get at me as a Yankee fan? Let's go. But this has nothing to do with it. Pete Alonso and Paul Goldschmidt have nothing to do with each other. Do you want them? And are you willing to say no for, in the scheme of things, not all that much money for the richest owner in baseball? Plain and simple. Holding the line. We'll trade out. Well, this was yesterday. Mets holding the line, not negotiating. Oh, they've reached out to Toronto for Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And hey, Pete, although we're not negotiating, the non-negotiating ends pretty soon, so you better figure it out. That's how the Mets handled yesterday. That's how the Mets handled Pete Alonso. That's the news that came out yesterday. They leaked that they're willing to trade for Vladimir Guerrero. They've leaked that they've given him a deadline. and they've pretty much leaked that they're not negotiating. Is that the best way to get him, or do they not want him? And which one are you more comfortable with as a Met fan?
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
All right, 340 on The Fan. McMonagle here with you. 888-808-1019. We can get to the Knicks here for a second. We'll get to your calls as well. You can still call about Pete Alonso. Call about whatever you want. It's 340 in the morning. 888-808-1019. But Knicks last night, 125-119 over the Sixers. No Embiid, no Karl Anthony Towns. Knicks had a 16-point lead. Played much better in the first half. Obviously blew the 16-point lead in the second half. Came out really shooting well to start the game. Bridges played well, was shooting well to start the game. He was 5-for-10 from three-point land. OG Anunoby, who, you know, he had a big shot down the stretch of this game, but, and I'm, you know, the minutes police. OG hasn't been hurt at all. He's played every game, right? We're always concerned about OG's health and whether or not he's going to be able to, you know, stay on the court. He's been able to stay on the court and he's healthy. But to me, watching him play, watching the perimeter defense, he looks like he's a little tired. He looks like he could use a break. Like, this is someone, I don't know if he's, you know, in recent, certainly not with the Knicks, right? He hasn't played this many games in a row. He was great to start the year. His offensive game and even the defense a little bit has slowed down here, but not that that's the story of the game. I just was looking through all the 3-for-10. It just feels like his shooting was so much better to start the year. His defense was better to start the year. He's really slowing down. The one game he had, that big game, was it Denver? Where he had the 40-point game, I think that was the game. Since then, his offensive game has kind of come down. The one game where he did it again was Toronto, where he stepped up and played well. And Karl Anthony Towns came back after missing a couple games. And I talked about how Karl Anthony Towns kind of unlocked OG Anunoby offensively. And still offensively now, OG has just not been quite as good. Josh Hart with a triple-double in this game. Precious Achiuwa, I thought, played great. He had a block in the overtime, as the Knicks did force it, were able to get it to overtime. OG Anunoby, as I said, you know, comes up short on the final shot in regulation to send it to overtime. They blew a 16-point lead. Quickly is just so good. Paul George doesn't look the same, but not quickly. Maxey played 46 minutes in this game. He's so fast. He's so good. He scores 33 points. He kind of led them back here without Embiid to force overtime. And in overtime, I thought Achiuwa played really well. You saw Brunson kind of dominate, make big plays, and Josh Hart is just so important to this team. So that's a good win. It's a solid win. No Karl Anthony Towns again. That's the story, as he's out with a thumb sprain, and he also has a bone chip in his thumb. It doesn't sound like it's going to be something he won't be able to play with. He's day-to-day right now with a thumb sprain. They're not going to need surgery on it. And again, he's very important to the team. They came out and shot the ball well a little bit today, especially in the first half. And that's really the question with the Knicks right now, is whether or not, you know, they can win when the shots don't fall. Like, because last year it felt like, now look, in any particular game, the shots don't fall to some certain extent. It's tough to win. But last year it just felt like the team was suited to play defense, to hustle, to rebound, and could still win a game if the shots weren't falling at a, you know, a relatively normal level. And now it feels like they need those shots to fall. They're not the same defensively. Like I said, OG hasn't been the same defensively. The team hasn't been the same defensively. And with the minutes, especially, I know the minutes are always going to be a conversation. And now I believe I saw that all four top minutes in the NBA are Knicks. Mikal Bridges, number one, and I think all top four in the NBA in minutes belong to the New York Knicks now, especially after overtime, where Bridges played 43, Anunoby played 45, Brunson played 45, and Josh Hart played 49 minutes in this game. So we understand how the bench hasn't been there for them. Sims actually probably played one of his better games as a Knick, and certainly this year, 6 offensive rebounds, which was huge in the game. 7 total. actually, you know, was able to get to the bat, you know, shot 3 of 5 from the floor, played some decent minutes. Precious was at the 5 for most of the game, including overtime, had a big block, played well. They need the bench, obviously, to play a little bit more. McBride, Deuce came in and gave them 22 good minutes. He was 3 for 4 from three-point land. He's important to them, too. He needs to hit the shots as well. Cameron Payne has been someone over the course of the year, been important. It's kind of waning here for Payne. His shot is ugly, and there's been some nights where he's just way off, and he takes bad shots, too, when he's out there on the floor. But he's been, you know, that right now they just don't have a bench, and Tibbs isn't able to go to him. I mean, 45 minutes for OG Anunoby, for a guy who clearly looks a step slow, is just where the team is right now, how the team coaches, how Tibbs coaches, and what they need to do to win, you know, to hold off the Sixers, 125-119. So, I mean, it's a good solid win, a bounce back, and a stretch where they haven't played that well without Karl-Anthony Towns, who I told you I believe right now is the most important Nick over Jalen Brunson. The most important Nick right now is Karl-Anthony Towns with the way this team is playing currently. And to not have him, even without Embiid, to still go out there and beat the 76ers, it's a good win. But the issues on this team persist. And we'll have to see if they can figure out a way to be a little bit, you know, once Robinson comes back, and there is some hopefulness, the Knicks sound relatively hopeful that Mitchell Robinson will come back here at the sometime in the early part of February, and clearly that will give them a legitimate guy off the bench, a rim protector, a defender, a rebounder, and someone who even offensively is a better passer than what they have right now off the bench. It gives them a lot more options. And that should make an impact, and that'll take time for him to get into, you know, a role with the team. But I think that'll be enormous for the Knicks. They desperately need Mitchell Robinson to come back. But the question is, are they going to be able to play these kind of minutes and get through the year? And can they play defense and rebound and win hard-fought games when they're not hitting their threes? And can Mikal Bridges find himself here? And after that, after his 40-point game, after his big game, he's been, you know, kind of bad offensively for a stretch now. So you've got Bridges not playing great offensively, OG Anunoby not playing as well offensively as he did to start the year. I mean, that's part of the reason they've had this stretch after the 9-game winning streak. But all the talk after the game, or really, I guess, during the game, was what Karl-Anthony Towns chose to wear to the game. As Karl-Anthony Towns, who has been a long-time Eagle fan, along with Jalen Brunson, I guess growing up in South Jersey, became an Eagle fan as a kid. And he wore like an old school 80s Philadelphia Eagles sweatshirt to the game and was wearing it on the bench. And a lot of people had a problem with it. And you know what? I have to admit, and I wish I could give you the counterpoint and say, oh, who gives a crap? Normally I would. Normally, and I don't care overall. It's not anything to get upset about necessarily. But I have to admit, this is the one spot where I don't like it. This is the one spot I don't. If this were a home game, I'd feel better about it. But to go on the road, and I know they're in the playoffs, and who cares about what shirt anybody's wearing? But I have to admit, on the road in Philadelphia, you're the new Nick. This is clearly a rivalry. Last year's playoff was extremely hard fought and contested, and I think some bad blood is being built between the two teams. You're the new guy on the block trying to, you know, get yourself in with the fans here. And I understand you might be a Philadelphia. No one's saying you can't. If they were playing, I know they're in the playoffs. If this were a game on Sunday when the Eagles are playing, okay. Right? If it's a random game against a random team and the Eagles are playing that night, you want to wear the game. But like to wear the Philly shirt in Philly with this team as a new Nick, I just felt like it wasn't the spot for it. I don't think it's anything to get too upset about or crazy about, scream about, yell about. I wrote the story in the Post is quoting fans on Twitter. He should be fined. He should be suspended. Whatever craziness. But I do think this is a one spot. Be smarter. Be a little bit smarter. Right? And for someone who feels like, especially after the, remember that Bulls game where they were down by, 25 or whatever, and they rallied back, and he played this great game, and they just came up short, and in part because he missed a couple of free throws down the stretch. And then, you know, in the post game, they're on the court, and there he is behind the reporter shooting foul shots. And half the fan base was like, yeah, look at it. He wants to go out there. He's going to, you know, he's working on his game. He recognizes he cost the Knicks. And half the fan and half the people and the haters were, oh, yeah, listen, he's not aware he's on camera. He's trying to endear himself into the fan base playing the game. Well, if you're going to play the game, whether he was or not, and that's its scenario, like, that is not a spot to where Philadelphia, first of all, right now we're all very sensitive. Even Michael Strahan is very sensitive about the idea of Saquon Barkley and the Giants right now. All right, we don't need it. We don't need anybody rooting for Philadelphia blatantly right in our face while the Knicks are playing the 76ers, their bitter rival, on the road in Philadelphia. And you're not playing because of a sprained thumb. I love you. I think you're the most important Knick right now. You've been great. I think you're arguably in the top, certainly top 10, maybe even closer than that, in MVP conversation. That's how good you've been. I think you're the most important Knick. I'm glad the news is good and you're going to be able to play through a bone chip in your thumb, but can you lay off the Randall Cunningham sweatshirt, please? In this one moment? And again, I don't want to make a big stink of it, and I know it's the talk of the town, and you know, it'll be something I'm sure, you know, Evan will have a field day with. But I don't want to make a big deal out of it, certainly. And normally I would poo-poo this stuff, and I would gladly poo-poo it. I'd come on and go, this is where I hate people. It's crazy. Who cares what he wears? But this is like the one scenario. Bitter rival, just played them in the postseason. You weren't here for it. You're the new Knick. This team and the Knicks are, you know, I know that right now they're 15-24 struggling, but still, like, there's a very good chance this team will be a playoff team. They played in the playoffs last year. It's a bitter rival. You're on the road in Philadelphia. Now, the one, and listen, and if you listened on TV, whatever, the crowd, it felt like half Knick fans. I even heard like a Deuce thing when Deuce McBride came in. So, like, but I, so it's not a hostile building necessarily, but you're in Philadelphia, bitter rival. Right now, the Giants Eagles thing is even more sensitive than usual because of Saquon Barkley and Joe Shane and the owner and the, you know, sleep commercials and everything else. Can you lay off the Eagles stuff while you're in the enemy's house? Just can you? You want to post an Instagram thing of you watching the Eagles game, all excited about the Eagles winning a game that I think they're actually going to win this week against the Rams? Fine. No one's saying you can't be a fan. And this goes back to Minnesota. I believe there was an issue with him when he was with the Timberwolves and they were playing, the Vikings were playing the Eagles in the NFC Championship game as the Eagles went on to win the Super Bowl that year. And he was rocking Eagle gear. And it was like a thing and the media was asking him about it. He's like, hey, I rep my team. I have no problem repping my team. I've been an Eagles fan since I was young, and I understand that on some level, but maybe last night was not the night for it. That's all. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Steve in Brooklyn. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Chris. I got a few Nick things I want to get to, but I do want to make one Pete Alonso point.
Sure.
In 2016, David Stearns non-tendered Chris Carter, who led the league at home runs with 41 that year. He's only 29 years old at the time, too. So it's pretty obvious that David Stearns has no value for a one-tool player. I like Pete, and that's exactly why I think this is kind of getting where it is.
Yeah, I think that's – I mean, I do think that's fair. I don't think he loves Pete as a player. That's absolutely part of it. Part of it is the option next year. Part of it is he doesn't love him as a player. Part of it is, you know, he's already offered him the most money a first baseman's ever had per year. Like, I think all of that has a lot to play with it, but I don't disagree with you. I don't think he's the type of player that he loves.
So, Knicks-wise, I love Tom Thibodeau. I mean, he's a great cultural guy. He's a great guy to take you from the basement to a playoff kind of team. But the same issues that Reardon's ugly head in Minnesota and Chicago
surface
here.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's not really minutes, please. It's more common sense. I mean, these guys, the NBA now, they run so many miles per game. OG looks exhausted. The top four in the league in minutes played all four of these guys.
Yeah.
The goal is May and, you know, late April, May, and to kind of, you know, be playing games like this in January is kind of a little ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I know the bench isn't exactly great, but you got to play these guys. You got to play Matt Ryan. You got to play Shemet. You got to play Payne. You got to play Huck Porty. The only way to see what you got is by playing them.
Mm-hmm.
And my last point is that, you know, if they want to make a run, I don't think they're going to make that run by playing elite defense. That's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
So I do think that they should, trade deadline-wise, try to make a move in terms of putting the best offense on the floor. And that's why I really don't think Mitchell Robinson is going to be a part of this team past the deadline. I think they're going to go get Jonas Valanciunas, and they're going to go all in on offense here. I think that's really where they should go.
I could see that. I mean, I think that I do think that makes sense, just to lean into the strength and not, I mean, move on from Mitch and get a role player, bench guy better offensively for the team. I do think that kind of makes sense right now, because you're right. Watching this team right now, it's hard to imagine that even just him could turn them into the same kind of defensive team they've been, or to that to be a strength necessarily. And again, that's the, I mean, listen, that's the conversation around Thibodeau, right? He's the, you know, he's the guy who can transform the team, take a losing team to a better spot. But can he be the guy that gets them over the hump and win a championship? Can he be, you know, that coach? And right now, yeah, you're right. Look, he's not playing, you know, Cameron Payne 7 minutes. Obviously, Precious Achiuwa, who he needed today, especially 30 minutes. McBride, 22. That's really the rotation. Haven't seen Ryan, you know, just haven't seen Shamet. And so, I agree. And that it's going to be the question for this Knicks team forever. But at the same time, I don't know how good the bench is, really. And you need to win these games. It's going to be a forever seesaw battle of how we feel about this Knicks team and the minutes played.